as we look ahead to Wild Card Weekend, we welcome in a guy who's like racking up the frequent flyer miles, whether it's in Chicago, Vegas, Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. I mean, who lives better than this guy? Sam Padianovich, Chicken Dinner Podcast, NBC Sports Chicago. Sam, my boy, Happy New Year. How are you, good sir?
Happy New Year, man. By the way, congratulations to you. I know you've been full-time for like 8 months, but good to read that in the New York Post that you got a full-time job. It's awesome.
Much, much appreciated. Yes, we have been full-time here the last couple of months. It has not been official. You're right. I haven't been able to say anything about it, but now that we can and now that that rabbit, you know, is out of the hat and whatnot, we could go from there. So I appreciate that, good sir. And that means 5 days a week of JJ After Dark means a lot of Sam over these next couple of months. But before we get into the NFL, bro, out at the Rose Bowl, I've never been. I saw your picture on Twitter. It looked magnificent. It looked picture perfect. Describe to the audience who has never been to that environment in Pasadena what it's like to take in that game.
90,000 people split right down the middle. If you took the number zero and drew a line through the middle, it's one side green, the other side red. That's because it was Oregon, Wisconsin. The pendulum swings in that game. Every time Oregon went up, Wisconsin answered. So it was like a heavyweight fight between two really, I thought, really good teams coming into the game. I actually had the Ducks +3, but honestly, man, I felt a little lucky to cash that ticket because I thought Wisconsin outplayed them, but when you turn it over four times and you commit some dumb penalties down the stretch, look, I don't want to hear that, you know, the refs ruined it for Wisconsin. No, you turned it over four times in a football game, you deserve to lose. So I felt a little bit lucky, but the environment is just great. Here on the West Coast, it kicks off at 2 o'clock, too, 2 Pacific. So by the time you get to, like, the late third quarter, you have the cotton candy skies. Like, the California mountains are in the background, and the sky's a little pink and purple and blue. And then by the time you get late fourth, it's pitch black. So aesthetically, it's a very sexy environment. The place is loaded. The chants go back and forth. It was a bucket list moment for me, and I'm so glad that this was my first Rose Bowl. 28-27 Oregon. I almost went back in my college days because I went to Illinois and we had a big idea. Hey, let's drive from Champaign to Pasadena and let's watch Illinois play USC. And Illinois lost that game by like 8 million points. So I'm glad I went to this one instead.
I don't blame you, especially when you cash in a ticket like we both did with the Oregon Ducks. And Sammy, you got quite the experience going on out there, bro. I mean, it's lively. What else is new out in Vegas, huh?
I think the Golden Knights just won. I think that's what happened.
Ah, there you go. A little magic from the Golden Knights. Not wrong with that. Okay, let's get to Wild Card Weekend. As a whole, Sam, we know that these games are going to be heavily wagered on. Everybody's front and center. Every nook and cranny is analyzed. Does your strategy change at all, handicapping the regular season and now taking it into the postseason?
Yes and no. I think every game is a different situation. I want to start with one of the games on Saturday, though. The New England Patriots opened up -5.5 at home in Foxborough. I don't know if you saw my tweet earlier at SP Shoot. I went back and I looked at all their first playoff games at home. And I went back to 2011. We're going back almost a full decade. Only one of their games went under. And you'd be surprised to look at some of these finals. I mean, they win these games. They score 45, 40, 35, 31, 28. They put points on the board, man. There was one game, I think they had 49 points. This is the type of game where the public will probably take the points with the Titans only because they just watched what? The New England Patriots lose to the Miami Dolphins. And the narrative is now that Brady's over the hill and the offense isn't good and they're not the same team they've been, but they don't give a damn about week 16, 7. They don't care. They don't give a damn. So looking at them in this game, I think they're going to get to at least 31. They also are going to give up some points there because the Titans can run the football, and Tannehill's been great for them. They've been a very good offense under Ryan Tannehill. I looked at the total, open 42.5. Now it's 44. I think we're going to have at least 50 points in this game. I think this final score is going to be like 31-20, 31-24. It could be closer than that, but I think both teams are going to get up and down the field. Patriots are going to gas the Titans on the ground, and this is just a really good situational spot. In the Patriots' first home game of every postseason, going back to 2011, they score the football. And I think this game's going over the total.
You know, that's a fascinating take on the game, Sam. And I'm A-okay with the idea of siding with the New England Patriots. They've been money in that stadium for two decades. I know it's a rare sight to be seeing them playing on Wild Card Weekend, but the Patriot offense has looked so limited. I know you mentioned a bunch of these other playoff games when they had the likes of Rob Gronkowski, when they had Julian Edelman in his prime, and they had Danny Amendola, and the list goes on and on. Would you be concerned with New England and just the overall state of affairs with their weaponry? I mean, they have not been putting up a lot of points this year.
No, I would not be concerned, honestly, and here's why. I would need more points than 5.5. If I'm going against the Patriots, I don't care about the narrative or the perception. I need at least a full touchdown, and that's just the way it goes because I have been burned so many times over the years. I mean, I get that the personnel isn't as loaded as it's been, but it's still Bill Belichick preparing for your defense in a game that matters, or preparing for your offense, rather. And he has been very successful also against former players and former coaches. And Mike Vrabel made his bones playing linebacker for the New England Patriots. So it's a spot where I need at least a full touchdown. I'd like a little bit more to take the Titans here. And I actually looked at a couple bet tickets. I see like 55% on the Patriots. I mean, how often do you see that going into a playoff game where the public is split on the Patriots at home? Usually this is a bang spot. People want to bet the Patriots, parlay, tease the Patriots. You walk up to 10 people on the street, I think it's about 50-50, 60-40. And in that case, I actually lean Patriots and the over. It might be square, but it's not really the square side going into this weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy to look at New England not being a team that's getting like 70, 75%, especially when they're only laying 5, 5.5. And I go back to last year, Sam. I love the Chargers. It was probably the dumbest bet I made all of last season. The playoff game, Chargers, New England. The Patriots looked vulnerable at the end of the year. The Chargers were playing really good football. That game was over before it even began. So I can understand, bro. Buyer beware, even with the way the Patriots have looked down a stretch. All right, let's get to the other AFC game. Buffalo-Houston. Houston has lost four of their last five playoff games. They've lost by double digits, I think, in four of those five spots. But to me, this is all about health for the Texans. What kind of shape is Deshaun Watson in? What kind of shape is Will Fuller and J.J. Watt going to be in? If you tell me all three of those guys are all systems go, then I think it changes the outlook on the Texans. Is the injury aspect something that you've been having some difficulty in maybe trying to figure out as we move closer and closer to kickoff?
You have to be aware in the playoffs who's in and who's out. And we'll talk about the Seahawks-Eagles game in a couple minutes, I'm sure. And I've been reading that Philly injury report every single day. But, yeah, if I don't know that the quarterback, one of the best receivers and one of the best players in the league, aren't really in good health, it's hard to back that side. And I can tell you this. I don't have a play in this game. I passed it right away because I just think it's a good number. I know that when they showed Buffalo +3 in Las Vegas, the wise guys and the sharp guys, they ran to the window and they bet the +3. That's what they do with dogs they believe can win. The wise guys have been betting Sean McDermott all year. They've also been making a lot of money on those Bills unders. Now, this total has ticked up a little bit, but I think it's a good number. Houston -3 was a fair open. Now it's like -2.5, -2. I can't make a case for either side. I'm not laying points with Bill O'Brien. You and I have talked about this in the past. I think you have a better defense and a better coach getting points. So if I had to bet this one, I'd probably tease the Bills up. I can go from 2.5 to 8.5. You know, I love those teasers when we go through 3, 4, 6, and 7. I'm looking at possibly a Bills and an Eagles teaser here. I think that'd be a good play. I'm not going to play side or total straight, but if I can get over a touchdown with the Bills, I'd be a little intrigued.
Sam Peniatovich, Chicken Dinner Podcast, NBC Sports Chicago. We're breaking down Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. All right, Sammy, let's get to these NFC games. You got Minnesota, New Orleans, and New Orleans, to me, is one of the best teams in football. I expect everybody in the world to be on the side of the New Orleans Saints. So, therefore, you're going to have sharps and you're going to have wise guys come in on the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to say the number is too high, the return of Dalvin Cook. Here's what I can't overlook, my friend. We're talking about Kirk Cousins in a game that really matters. We've seen it in primetime spots. We've seen it in the postseason from his days with the Washington Redskins. He scares the living daylights out of me. Against an elite-level team, I think that's a scary, scary play. Try to make the argument, try to make the case that Minnesota's your side and your play. How you feeling about the Vikings in a sense?
I actually lean Saints. I agree with the move. This is both public and sharp action. Open 7 flat. Right away, 7.5, and now there's a lot of 8s popping up in the global market. And you have pretty good two-way on this game. I talked to a couple bookmakers. Johnny Murray at the Westgate, Tony Miller at the Golden Nugget, and they said pretty much the same thing. You have some big bets on the Vikings, too. But like I said earlier with the Patriots, I don't want to fade the Patriots in Foxborough in the playoffs. I don't want to fade the Saints in the Dome in the playoffs either. It's just I have my rules that I have to stick to. And it's funny, JJ, because you know this. I mean, everybody wants – they want every game. They want every side and every total. And the biggest problem I have in the playoffs is that going into this NFL weekend, we got 2 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday. I only like one side and one total. That's it. These are the tightest lines of any lines in the NFL season. They get tighter in the postseason. These are hard to bet into, and a lot of good bettors, they pass a lot of these games. You have to be disciplined in these games because, you know, I think this true number is probably Saints minus 8. I mean, if I were to make this game in the regular season, I'd probably make it 6.5, 7. But you have to add in the crowd and the noise, and it's hard to audible. And you already brought up, you know, point number one, Kirk Cousins and Vic Ames, he sucks. So I have to be very, very confident to really fade the Patriots at home and the Saints at home here. And that's why I just can't make a case for this. I will say I was a little bit surprised, though, that the total opened about 47.5, and it's already been bet up to 50. The Vikings historically last 5 years under Mike Zimmer have been a very good defensive team. It's a little alarming. If I was a Vikings bettor, I'd be a little alarmed and a little concerned that this total has already gone up almost 3 points. That's not a good sign for Minnesota. That tells me they're going to give up some points in this game.
Last but not least, Sam, and this to me was maybe the fishiest line of the bunch because I thought this line would get jacked up because of Eagles injuries, because of the public perception regarding these two teams, Seattle and Philadelphia. And I know the Eagles have everybody and then some on the injury report. They have beaten up the bottom feeders of the NFC East. That's true. But the dirty little secret is Seattle has not finished the season strong. Seattle has injuries that they are accounting for. And they got to fly West Coast to East Coast. And they got to go up against a coach who has been money as an underdog in the postseason. I smell a fishy line with Seattle and 86% of the betting public hammering the Seahawks in that line right around 1.5.
Yeah, this is a play for me. I took the Eagles. I took +2 here. I thought desperation really rang true when the Seahawks went out of their way to bring in an out-of-shape, overweight Marshawn Lynch. Did that not really strike you the wrong way? Like, oh, wow, they need Marshawn Lynch to win in 2019, 2020? That's a problem. That's a red flag to me. And you look at the Eagles' injury report, they've been banged up for the last month. But look at the guys that have returned to practice. Zach Ertz is so important in that passing game. He's going to play on Sunday. Jalen Mills in the secondary with a bad ankle. He looks like he's going to give it a go. And by all accounts, and I talked to a couple people in Philly, they think that Lane Johnson is going to return to the offensive line. Aguilar and Miles Sanders, still questionable. They're going to be game-time decisions here. But this team has actually quietly gotten healthier over the last couple of weeks here. And I just love a good home dog. I think a home dog with nothing to lose is the scariest team to bet against in the NFL in the postseason. I took the Eagles +2. I'm not fazed. I know I'm on an island here because you mentioned the percentages. I mean, everybody's betting the Seahawks. They went from +1 to -2. It looks so easy in the NFL. Usually when it is, it's not that easy. But I took the points here with a home dog. I love Peterson, and I think Carson Wentz, given the guys he's been playing with, skill positionally and offensive line-wise, he's been playing with trash cans across the board, and they have still persevered, and they're in the postseason with a home game. You have to give them credit for the way they fought down the stretch. They're not going to be an easy put-away, no doubt.
Sammy, before we get you out of here, tease. It's been money. You're all over it. Are we thinking Buffalo, Philadelphia? We thinking Buffalo with the over in Tennessee, New England? What are we playing here, my friend?
Yeah, let's do this. I know I hinted earlier at the Patriots and Titans over. Let's tease that down from 44 to 38. The Patriots might score 35 by themselves. And I'll tease the Eagles. I like the Eagles more than I like the Bills because the Eagles are at home and the Eagles have a better quarterback, a veteran guy. Not a veteran guy, but a guy with moxie that knows how to win big games. I'll take the Eagles from plus two up through the three, through the four, six, seven. Eagles plus the eight with the Patriots over. I think that's a winner for sure.
My man, Sam Pettianovich, he's been joining us each and every week, bringing the fire from Pasadena to Vegas to Chicago. And he joins us here in New York City. Sammy, Happy New Year, bro. We will chat next week. Divisional round, college football national championship. Going to be a killer weekend, my friend.
We will talk next week, buddy. Happy New Year.
There you have it, Sam Pettianovich.